You have heard me say it before, and I'm going to remind you again. Strong businesses are built through slow, steady, intentional growth. And today's guest is proof of that. Jill Shepherd is the owner of Rough House Print Shop. She started her business in 2009, initially specializing in custom wedding invitations. She then spent 14 years prioritizing professional development, refining her business model, expanding her team, and strengthening her customer experience. And in the process, she built a profitable and sustainable company that she is proud of. Today, Jill and I are talking about her entrepreneurial journey from custom wedding invitations to a brick and mortar retail shop to selling wholesale to over 3,000 shops around the world. Jill also reveals her strategies for maintaining a thriving business, the importance of continuous learning, and the impact of participating in programs like Paper Camp, even as a seasoned entrepreneur. Today's episode is brought to you by our free on-demand wholesale audio series, where I'll walk you through the biggest mistakes and common questions that folks have when they are scaling wholesale, ultimately so that you don't make the same mistakes we did. You can get instant access to this on-demand program at proof2product.com/privatepod. There's no fluff here, just concrete action steps and answers to help you simplify and strengthen your wholesale sales. And the best part, you can listen on the go on your favorite podcast player and binge it in under an hour. So again, get access to that at proof2product.com/privatepod. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Jill, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to chat with you. You shared some updates with me recently that just had my heart pounding and my eyes spinning. And I just can't wait for you to share it with the audience too. So let's start this off talking first about tell us about yourself, how you started your business and what you sell.
Yeah. So I started Rough House in 2009. So it's been a while now. I started in the wedding stationery industry doing custom wedding invitations. That was back when Etsy was just getting going. And it was kind of easy to be found on there and all over. And in my previous, before Rough House Life, I went to school for graphic design and I was working in marketing and branding. And I got laid off of my job at the end of 2008. And so I was just like, okay, great. This is a good time for me to do some freelance. And I was already kind of doing some freelance. And then a few friends asked me to design their wedding invitations. And then some people were like, you should put them online. And so that's kind of how Rough House was born a little bit in the wedding industry. I did that for a couple years. In 2012, we launched our wholesale line at the National Stationery Show. And we went back again in 2013. And then in 2014, I opened Rough House Papery, which is our brick and mortar retail store. Yeah. And moved my studio out of our basement and into the back end of our store. And then it was about 2015, I revamped my entire wholesale line. I think after opening my own store and kind of seeing the other brands that we were carrying and what was selling, it was just kind of a good eye-opening experience. And so I redeveloped my whole product line and hit the ground running from there. And then we ended up discontinuing our wedding stationery in 2019, just so I could focus on wholesale. And then, you know, here we are just all these years later, just still doing it. So yeah.
I love hearing this story. So much of it, frankly, mirrors my journey in the stationery world too. I started with wedding. It was my own wedding, my own gifts for my bridesmaids and friends, and then Etsy. And then, you know, right, trying to do that and then jumping straight into wholesale at the National Stationery Show. My first show was in 2009. And it's so interesting to see the common threads between so many of these brands, but at the same time, seeing how our different paths go in different ways. You know, you mm-hmm.
opened the brick and mortar. You ended up shutting down the wedding side. You revamped wholesale and went all in there. And that's been your primary revenue stream now. I spoke with somebody earlier this week that was juggling both wholesale and retail and ended up splitting into sister brands and, you know, is doing that. And so I think it's one, just so inspiring to hear how everyone chooses to run their business and the choices they make. But also it's a great reminder to all of us that we can build whatever we want in whatever way we want that suits us best. And that's what you're doing right now.
Right. And so, yeah. And I think like, I never would have imagined this is like the path I would have ended up on. So it's just like, I think it's always just good to like be flexible in your vision of what you want things to be, because it will just, you know, if you allow it to turn into what it will, then it can be great. So
I love that. I couldn't agree with you more too. The flexibility, the agility of being an entrepreneur. I mean, obviously we spend so much of our days making these tough decisions and trying to keep everything afloat. But when we take a step back, one of the beauties of being our own boss is that agility and the flexibility that you mentioned. So thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you recently shared with me that your gross sales tripled between 2020 and 2021, which was a very difficult time for yes. most small businesses. So I know myself and the listeners are super intrigued to tell us more about how you accomplished this.
Yeah. So there was kind of some transitional things at the end of 2019. And it was kind of like, well, do I keep going or do I go and do something else? And so it was kind of this, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep going at it. And so at the beginning of 2020, we added a bunch of new product. We kind of fine tuned a lot of things about our wholesale, and we were just like really getting like the ball rolling, and then COVID happened. And so we were actually exhibiting at Spring at the Silos in Waco with Magnolia when the shutdown happened. So we set up our booth, and then at 5 p.m. after we got everything set up, they told us to tear it all back down and that we had to go home without anyone ever seeing it. So that was like the start of our COVID. And then I got back to my shop, and then a week later we shut down the shop, and we were closed for a couple months in there. And so during that shutdown, before the shutdown, Rough House was Rough House Art, and our brick and mortar and our wholesale line and everything was under the name Rough House Art. So during that shutdown, I rebranded and split the two. So now we have Rough House Papery, which is our brick and mortar store, and Rough House Print Shop, which is our own brand of products that we wholesale. And so I just spent that time like really kind of focusing and fine tuning everything, going, okay, when we open back up, we're going to need to like hit the ground running and really thrive, you know, come out on top. And I feel like that's what we did. As soon as we came back, you know, it was just kind of like skyrocketed from there. And I think that kind of second half of 2020 was, I think, for everybody going, okay, well, we're open right now, who knows how long it's going to last, let's just like go. And mm-hmm. so there was just a lot of traction there, and we did really well at like the fair markets that year. And so it was really just kind of like a big expansion year. I think we just got discovered by a lot of places out there. So yeah.
Okay. So I have a lot of follow-up questions to this. That was also kind of in tandem with when you were letting go of the wedding side. So you naturally had mm-hmm. more time and effort and energy and even financial resources to dedicate to both the print house side, the wholesale line, and the brick and mortar. Now you had restrictions right. because COVID restrictions and shutdowns and things like that, but what did you kind of do behind the scenes to prime yourself for, okay, when things reopen, we're running strong? It sounds like you were working on your product line, you were working on your marketing, you were working on your mm-hmm. brand messaging. Am I reading that right?
Yep, kind of all of that stuff. So yeah, one of the biggest decisions for getting rid of the wedding line is that it was just consuming too much of my day-to-day time. And, you know, it was a big decision too, because it was a big financial decision. The weddings were bringing in a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it was like, okay, if I'm not distracted by this, then I can go full focus in on this other thing, which really needed to happen. And that was really more where my interests lied. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the decision there. So yeah, I did kind of let go of this, and I was able to go like all into wholesale. And then, like you said, and then COVID happened, and we were like, oh no, what do we do now? But I think we built two new websites while we were shut down. So we split the company, which I, and created a lot of brand elements and really brought everything together. So it was kind of cohesive, designed a lot of new products so that when we could come out, we could come out of COVID, that we came out strong. And so a lot of that was just like building up resources, making sure like we were going to be able to source the supplies for our products, like throughout all of that supply chain issues. So a lot of during that shutdown was kind of all that, just like building up the foundation a little bit so that we could like weather whatever was going to come.
I need to applaud you because I did a podcast episode on this way back a couple of years ago. It feels like ages ago now, about how, you know, everyone responded to the pandemic in different ways. Some people just like really ducked and covered. They were barely, you know, we were just trying to, we didn't know what was coming. We were trying to adapt. Mm-hmm. We were trying to keep our head afloat, but also it was a really challenging time personally, professionally, like as a human being. And so some people did duck and cover and like just weren't able to move forward in the ways that they perhaps wanted to, whereas others use that time to be really proactive. And it sounds like that was your case. Now, there's no wrong way. I'm not trying, if anyone listening is in the reactive mode of I just needed to survive, like I feel you on that 100%. And I'm not being critical there. But I do find it interesting to see some of the trends and some of the patterns, because 2020 and 2021 were tough sales years for folks. And there were some common threads for the brands that really thrived in that time. And I think what you're talking about of getting clear on your branding, getting clear on your products, how you're articulating things, and also taking that quieter time to really amp things up, you know, to be primed for the next step, I think is huge. And I really do want to applaud you for that. Now, let's talk about the fact that like tripling your gross sales is huge. Yeah. I mean, it's huge for the business in terms of cash flow and the ability to do additional things, but it also can create some real hurdles operationally, fulfillment, logistics, like all of that. So talk to us about some of the challenges you faced during that intense growth period.
Yeah, I definitely, that was the hardest part of it, because when we shut down for COVID, it was, I only had 4 employees, including myself. So it was me, another full-time employee, and then 2 part-time employees between my brick and mortar and my wholesale. So it was 4 employees total. Mm-hmm. And then I think by like the end of 2020, we had doubled employees and then even had more like going into 2021. And so learning how to like just juggle that many employees was kind of a learning curve. And then, you know, going from having to source supplies for kind of a set number of sales to having support source that for like 3 times, 4 times the amount of sales in a supply chain shortage, you know? So I feel like all of those things were really challenging. And then also our equipment, you know, we were making things with kind of this one set of equipment that was working for our workload, but now we've like tripled our workload. And so we have people that are like finding journals on, you know, machines that are just taking too long. And so even just having to like build up our manufacturing and kind of learn like what equipment we were going to need going forward, and all of that was really challenging. And then at the beginning of 2022, we ended up moving all of our production out of our retail space and into a separate warehouse location, because we were just like on top of each other. It got to where our studio space was like boxes to the ceiling, you know, with like pathways through. And we had so many employees just like in this small space working that we were just on top of each other all the time. And so we moved into that warehouse space about 1.5 years ago. And that's been so great. And it's helped our, you know, just our productivity in general. But there's still a lot of back and forth. All of our presses are still at the store location. So we still do all of our printing, like from that location, and truck stuff back and forth. But yeah, it's definitely a better situation now. And now, you know, I feel like I at least have like a grip on all of those learning curves now that I had to go through. But yeah, just, I mean, you know, I don't, my background is not in business or in operations or in, you know, I have like an art degree, and my day to day is like, I just want to make pretty paper things and sell them, you know? And so having to like juggle all of those business op things was definitely the hardest for me.
Well, and I would say that's the hardest part about scaling your business, especially in this industry of creative entrepreneurs making physical products. I guarantee pretty much everyone I talk to, everyone I coach got into this business because they wanted to create something beautiful. They wanted to make an impact with their art. They want, you know, they had a problem that the product was solving, and then we hit this phase. So then we start. And then we hit this phase where it's like, oh, wow, okay, no, this is like really moving. It's profitable and it's sustainable, but wait, I need to tweak the systems. I need to step into this more managerial role, which not everyone likes to do. And it does become a challenge because especially like you said, when we're trained in art and we're not trained in business, it feels overwhelming to then handle those business things. But also a lot of it comes with experience as you've now been through.
Yeah. So yeah, it is the management side and like being like the boss is like the hardest part for me, I think, because I don't like micromanaging and I don't like having to like boss people around and I am like too nice, I feel like a lot of the times, but you know, I just want like everybody to be happy. And I feel like in a weird way, like I've been doing this a long time and I have a lot of employees now, but I feel like I'm still like, hi, do you just want to come help me make paper things all day? You know, I mean, it feels a little bit like that versus like, well, you want to come work for my company? And it's just like, well, you want to come help me out?
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. It's so funny you say that. I was talking with my children the other day and they were like, my kids know what I do, but like, I was trying to equate it to their world. And I was like, I kind of get to go play dress up with my friends every day. And we like do really important work, but it's kind of the same. I mean, it's obviously we do important things in our jobs, but it does feel fun and it does feel like something that, you know, is enjoyable. And it doesn't feel like a traditional corporate job where I was going to work going, oh, I don't want to do this today, you know? Yeah. So I told my daughter, I'm like, it's kind of like when you play dress up with your friends and you all hang out, like we're hanging out, but we're doing work and we're helping other people. It's important things. So
yeah,
I resonate with what you said about come make pretty paper with me.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, this has been great. Okay. So I want to mention here, our paper camp program is something that you attended after your business had been already established. And I get a lot of notes from folks that are like, I'm too far ahead for paper camp. I'm already in, you know, 25 stores, or I've already been selling on Fair for a year. And I always tell them, I'm like, there's still a lot that you can learn here. There's still a lot of holes that we can help fill in. There's sales, foundations, marketing, all of that. And so I just would like to hear from you. What were some of your goals of attending Paper Camp? And what have you learned through that program in our community that you implemented in your business? Because you did have an established business when you came to join us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely think my mindset is to just always be a student no matter what. Like I am always listening to podcasts. I'm always reading business books. And I always feel like there's just like more to learn, especially with how fast like business changes and everything is just changing so fast. I feel like it never hurts to stay on top of everything. So, and I also feel like I have a little bit of tunnel vision with my business. You know, I've just been like heads down working, and sometimes it's hard to like look up and look around and be like, oh wow, we have come a long way, you know, in the time that we've come. And so a little bit that, but yeah, we have been wholesaling for a long time. We have over 3,000 wholesale accounts, so we're pretty established in the business.
Totally.
But I do feel like I was really looking for that peer environment where, you know, I had that support from other people that were in the industry. So like I said, I just kind of been like heads down in my own lane working all these years. And so to be able to like build up that community a little bit was a big goal of mine. And then sometimes like, while I have all this experience and I've been doing this for a long time, my staff doesn't necessarily have all this. And sometimes it's hard for me to just like realize what they don't know or to like articulate certain things to them. So going into that, it really helped me like go, oh yeah, these are important steps that like maybe I just like glazed over with them when they started or something like that, or certain marketing tactics that were definitely helpful, or just reminders of like building out a schedule so that you launch like your Christmas products on time. And, you know, and so it helped us a lot with like organization. It gave us a lot of marketing tips and tricks. It helped. We learned a lot through the like trade show portion of the paper camp. And so, yeah, I definitely think we for sure got a lot out of it. And then now being a part of the alumni community has just been invaluable for sure.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. I think as you were saying earlier, you went to school for art, you didn't go to school for business. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Paper Camp is an intensive program. We cover a lot in a short amount of time, but it's not just how to do things. As you pointed out, it's why we do things a certain way and why this benefits the business overall in terms of the systems, the processes, how we can be more organized so that we can work with more ease and grow our revenue more quickly. So I appreciate you sharing that, because I think we do get a lot of folks that are like, I'm too far along to do this. And I think that even if people come in and know a good chunk of the content, there's still more to learn. There's still more information that they can apply. And we are constantly updating it, as you said. Mm-hmm. So between the alumni community, it's really strong.
And I think it's really helpful to just that it's like community centered. And so while we do something one way and we've done it that way for a while, somebody else does it completely different. And so I love hearing like how everybody does something different and going, oh, I like that better, you know, like we should do it that way or different things. So it's easy to just like get stuck in your ways a little bit and be like, well, this is how we've done it. And I don't want to learn a new way. But having that environment where you collaborated with the other people in the camp and you're like, well, how do you do this? And how do you do this? And, you know, we definitely have like weaknesses, weak points and stuff. And so
we all do,
having the advice and the like recommendations of what other people do was really helpful too. And so, and then also just even on the retail side, you know, you brought in like the retail speakers that had their own brick and mortars. So for me, having my own brick and mortar, it was like nice hearing from them too and seeing like what catches their attention and certain things like that. Cause I know like when other stores are pitching me for me to pick their products up for my store, like I know how busy I am, but I'm also running like a wholesale business and manufacturing. And so where other people maybe don't have all that, but they have other things. And so it's just interesting to hear how other people like to be pitched to and how they buy for their store and things that they do. So yeah.
Totally. Oh, that's helpful to hear. I also, our buyers love coming and doing their presentations because they're also being exposed to so many wonderful new brands that they might not have known about yet. So I agree. There's just a lot of benefit of being together, having those open conversations. And thank you for that. Yeah. Okay. One thing that a lot of listeners are always asking, and I know you have experience with this, so I want to ask, you know, even through all of this incredible growth that you've had, you have still been able to maintain this handmade small batch assembly aspect of your product. So I would love for you to share, what advice do you have for folks that are focused on that small batch assembly kind of doing, I know you're also doing things in larger scale, but you've maintained this handmade portion that it's difficult to do as you scale.
Yeah. Yeah. That has been one of the difficult parts of it, is like adding that manufacturing element a little bit. So we don't just have a product that we're marketing and have fulfillment that we're shipping out. We are manufacturing our brand and our products. I know a lot of other people are doing the same thing. So we've had to kind of go, okay, we can't manufacture 100% of our product line at this level. You know, we just don't have the manpower. So we've outsourced what we can, you know, of course, like there are products in our line that we don't make ourselves, like enamel pins and stickers and mugs and those kinds of things. But so our core, like handmade products are still greeting cards. We still letterpress our greeting cards and we still hand make all of our bound products, our journals and everything. So we've just worked through the process for our journals, for example. That has been like a big process going, okay, we were like one arm crank, hand punching the paper, you know, and like little bits at a time and hand, like cutting the wire and binding them. And so, and while that worked at like a smaller scale, we had to really beef up our equipment. So we had to invest in some like big binding and punching equipment. And so now our process, we still kind of bind to order and everything. Our journals are really the only thing that's like not already made sitting on the shelf. So we have kind of like our stack of inserts and then our backs and our covers. And then, so we just like pull covers for each order. And so, and then everything else we've been able to build stock of. So our greeting cards, you know, we just print a lot and we make them and have them ready on this shelf. And then other products, we do still do like packaging in-house. So like our jotter pins, we still make the packaging and handle, you know, package those. And so it's just been kind of a learning curve of, we do utilize our papery employees who are like standing at the counter in a retail setting to do some of these like hands-on tasks, like package greeting cards and package enamel pins, you know. Yeah. So there's a lot of like crossover between the two companies. There's a lot of while you're just standing there, why don't you do this? You know? Yeah. And so it's like there's never an idle moment for really anybody. So we're always kind of moving and we're all, you know, picking up tasks where we can. And so, yeah.
That's awesome. And it's smart. It's efficient use of the manpower and the time that you have. I think it's tricky when a brand starts as truly handmade and small batch and then scales the way you do, because you're right. You can't keep, in order to continue the manufacturing in-house in smaller quantities, you would have to hire a huge team, get a lot mm-hmm. more equipment. And you're finding the, it sounds to me like you're, correct me if I'm wrong, you're finding this middle ground between, okay, we're outsourcing pieces of this that make more sense for somebody else to handle because they have the expertise in that and we can get a better price per piece for that. And we're going to keep some of this in-house in a way that still suits us, still allows us to have our hands on it and have the higher quality that we want. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. You know, and I've built a lot of friends in the industry kind of locally too. And so there's like several other print shops that help me out, you know, and we have like one print shop that prints all of our journal backs for us. And then nice. We have like another print shop that does all of our white ink screen printing on all of our covers for us. And so, and that same place prints like our packaging for our pens and our enamel pens. So while we've been able to outsource like pieces of it, it all is still feels small and handmade because it's all still local. It's all just like small shops, just like me that we're outsourcing to, and they're my friends. And so
awesome.
It all still feels like it has that like very handmade quality versus like we're outsourcing to, you know, like another country or, you know, some other place that I've never been, you know, another shop I've never been to. So yeah.
No, you're keeping it local. You're keeping it. I like that. And it's a great reminder too, that as we continue to grow, I mean, 3,000 shops that you're servicing, that's a lot of product coming and going. So
right.
to do so much of that locally and with others is fantastic. I'm curious about like some of the investments you've made in your business. We've talked about equipment. We've talked about space. We've talked about people on your team. What other investments have you made maybe on the sales and marketing side that have really helped you amplify what you're doing in the business?
You know, I think a lot of it is just trying to find those like different avenues of sales that are going to stick, or finding, I will contribute a lot of it to my staff and people on our staff. You know, I have a really great team and people just take the reins on stuff and go. And so I think like having somebody who's working on marketing, you know, she's doing kind of one element, and then we have another person who is handling all of the like supply and inventory management and keeping all the orders going in the warehouse. So being able to kind of have little pieces of it that each of us are working on really helps, you know, you can move ahead a little bit quicker on some things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely think the biggest impacts in investment have been equipment, like investing in bigger equipment, and investing in just stock of product. You know, initially that was really hard, you know, with our growth going, it's a big investment to have to carry all of this stock, you know, and
yeah.
We have a big product line. We have over 450 SKUs in our product line. So having to have inventory of all that is a lot. So really, I think like as much as you can build up back stock and, you know, have the right equipment is important so that you can maintain that workflow.
Yeah.
And then I also think it's just really great to have good customer service just all around. I feel like we have really thrived because that has just been a priority for me, that, you know, I'm just so grateful that all these people are buying our products, that, you know, I want to have good service in return. And so I think that has kept people coming back too.
Oh yeah. And I mean, not to get in the business mode of it, but like, it's so much easier to keep happy customers coming back for more than it is to go out and find new customers and tell them about our
right.
brand. So having that customer service, one, it just creates a strong relationship with your customers, but two, it does lead to more sales when we look at the
yeah.
data. That's awesome. Well, it sounds like your team has been a huge support for you. And I know you said mm-hmm. you didn't want to manage people, or you didn't come into this wanting to manage people, and that you really didn't want to micromanage anyone, but it sounds like you've really created a strong system where everyone has their roles, their responsibilities, but it's also very communicative and it's very secular, like in terms of people are helping with a lot of different things too, which I think is great. It sounds like you've been able to leverage a small team for a big impact.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty accurate. And so I think we all just kind of wear all the hats, you know? I mean, like, yeah. When you go work for a small business in general, it's like you're not being hired for like marketing, you know, you're being hired for marketing and HR and cleaning and, you know, like whatever.
I'll take out the trash today. Yeah.
Like all the things, you know, we all do all the things. And so, but yeah, it's really, I think, like hiring those like quality people that are going to fit with your team and fit like with my personality and how I like to work and can just be self-motivated and self-going, you know? And so it has been a process to like, that's been a learning curve too, just like hiring and like figuring out who to hire and, you know, what the needs are and where the needs are. But yeah, that's while managing people is not my favorite part of the business. So it's definitely like crucial at this point, you know, that we have all these people. So yeah.
It's crucial, and it sounds like you're surrounded by a great team of people that you enjoy, that do hard work, and are really invested in the mission and values and vision of your brand, which is a difficult thing to find. So kudos to you on that. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, Jill, tell us what's next for you in Rough House. What do you have coming up through the end of the year that you're excited to share with us?
Yes. Up until recently, we do a lot of business on fair and we do a lot of sales, just internal sales. But we did pick up a rep group within the last month or two. And so we now have like a permanent showroom representation in Dallas and in Vegas with both of those territories covered. So that's like a new venture for me, working with sales reps, working with that permanent showroom. I have high hopes for that kind of not all, you know, I'm super grateful for everything fair has done for my business, but I definitely don't want all my eggs in one basket too. So it'll be great to have that. And then we've got the fair market coming up and then we've got Vegas after that we're going to. And then, we're just hoping to finish the year out strong and keep going.
Awesome. I think that sounds fantastic. And I think it's really smart to you. Not that you asked for this advice. I think it's smart to diversify as best we can, just so that, you know, we've got options in terms of how we're connecting with our customers. So congrats on the new rep groups.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Where can people find you online if they want to check out your products, or even if they want to come visit you in person, where should they go?
Yeah. So you can come to our website at roughhouseprintshop.com. We're on all the social channels at Roughhouse Print Shop. Our retail store is Rough House Papery, PAPERIE. So our website, same handle on all of our social media for that too.
Awesome. Fantastic. Jill, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your story with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Big thanks to Jill for joining me today. I appreciate her sharing the path that she took to get to where she is today. It is a great reminder to all of us that we can build a business that is impactful and meaningful while also fueling the life that we want to live. So be sure to check out Jill's links in the show notes so that you can see her product line and follow her online. I also want to remind you to join the waitlist for the 42nd round of Paper Camp. We will open enrollment very soon. And since 2011, we have helped thousands of product makers across product categories and across the world strengthen their wholesale marketing and sales systems so that they are getting constant, consistent wholesale orders, reorders, increasing their average order value, and more. Learn more and join the waitlist at proofedoproduct.com/papercamp. And if you have any questions about Paper Camp and whether it's a good fit for you, send me a DM on Instagram. I'm at proof2product. We run Paper Camp twice a year and we sell out every time, but everyone on that waitlist will get early access to tickets. So hold your spot by joining that waitlist. Go to proofedoproduct.com/papercamp. You'll also be able to read the program curriculum there and also check out lots of testimonials from our alumni. All right, thank you for listening until the end. I'll be back next week with a new episode.